we had to somewhat curtail the service because it started raining, but we had a good time there. We didn't get back home until about, I guess, 12:30 this morning. Then I was in a meeting Wednesday, a meeting Thursday, and a meeting on Monday. I would ask those of you that were here last Sunday that you would pray for the members of the session as they work through some issues that affect the whole church. I just really believe that these are godly men, but they need your prayers. So I know last Sunday there were some folk that were upset, some folk, you know, even cried. But remember this, God is on the throne. He is on the throne, and His will be done. But your prayers are solicited as things go forward in that area. So just hold them up in prayer. Secondly, what I have seen over the past three Sundays is a drop in attendance. And we are our brother's keeper. And being our brother's keeper, we have the responsibility. God has given us the responsibility to pick up the phone and call and see why somebody is not in church, to call and see if they have a need that maybe the elders of the church are not aware of, but you are, that you can speak into their lives, that you can bring that information to the church, that we can be a family, that when someone is having issues, that we can rally around that person and help them. So I guess my basic way of looking at it is that if somebody is not here, and especially if they miss two Sundays in a row, that there should be a phone call to them to find out what's going on. Not to step into their world and find out what's going on in their lives, but why they're not coming to church. Because if they have issues that are their need, this is the place to get your needs met. This is the place where you can get prayer. This is the place where you can be held up as you go through the process of life. Everybody in here at one point in time or another needs somebody to be praying for you. So this is where we need to be able to reach out to the other members of the church and let them know that we're praying for them when they're not here, we miss them, etc. So I would just ask that you would just keep in mind as you look around, and if you see that you're looking at more red chairs than you're looking at bodies, is that we need to start to find out why certain bodies are not here worshiping God. Okay? Good on that point. In our walk with God, let's do this. So turn to Matthew, the sixth chapter. In our walk with God, God has called His people to walk on higher ground. In essence, as Christians, we're not supposed to live like those that are heathens, that don't know the Lord, but we're supposed to walk an extraordinary life. Our life is supposed to be full of God's supernatural blessings. God is looking for us to be His representatives here on earth, where things that those that don't know the Lord go through, we don't go through. In essence, that we should not have lives that are full of fear, full of doubt. We should have lives that are strong in faith, that we know what God will do in our lives because we have a track record with Him based on what he has done in our lives and based on our track record with him, based upon his word, that we know that we can move forward knowing that God is going to fulfill his purpose for us. He's going to help us to live out the destiny that he has planned for us, and all that he's looking for us to do is to submit ourselves to him. When you look over into John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, it talks about that God has come that we might have an abundant life. In essence, what God wants you to understand is that Jesus did not come just to save you and go back to heaven, but he came to give you a fruitful life. He came that you would have a life that is full, that is dynamic, that when people see you, they know that you are walking with God because of the life that you live. You know, is not made, and God has never said that everybody in here, everybody in the world is going to have $1 million and going to have 3 houses and 4 cars and so forth. But God has said that he will meet every need that you have in your life according to his riches and glory. And that comes from us having this consistent walk with him and understanding that the promises that he has made, he's going to live out in our lives. He's going to do the supernatural in our lives as we trust him, as we lean to him, and as we look and get direction from him for our lives. You know, the bottom line is we all will walk this life and will have problems. We will have concerns, but we know that because Jesus Christ went to the cross and he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father, that whatever issue that we have in this life, he will resolve. He will bring it to resolvement where you are blessed and he are glorified in your life if you will allow that to happen. Now, as we look into Matthew, the 6th chapter, one of the things that the writer here is talking about is how we see ourselves in our daily lives. Those things that impact us on a day-to-day basis and how we deal with them in our walk and in our relationship with God. And one of the things that you need to look at is in this area of worry and anxiety, and basically this morning, as you saw in your bulletin, the title of the sermon is An Antidote for Worry, Anxiety, and Stress. Now, I can't put it all in one sermon. I don't want you to think that it's able to take everything that you need to get worry out of your life and put in one sermon. But I believe this morning I'm going to give you a good basis to start to deal with some of your issues of worry, your issues of anxiety, and your issues of stress. So I ask that you would walk with me, that you would write down the scriptures that I will give you, and that during this week you would take time to go back and look at these scriptures and then to see how they impact your life. Okay, now, worry. Let's look at worry. Why do you worry? Think about that. Why do you worry, and what do you worry about? A lot of times that we find ourselves, we are worrying about things that we have no control over, we're worrying about things that we do have control over, and we're worrying about things that just don't make sense. God, in his word, tells us that there are basically 3 things that we worry about that he has already said he would take care of. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, around the 16th verse, around the 11th verse, God says that he will shepherd us. He will shepherd us. So what we need to understand as we look at this process, God is saying, and let's go back. I'm going a little too fast. Let's back up. Hold your finger at Matthew and flip over to Psalms 23. I got a lot to say in a short period of time to say it, so I got to just slow the train down a little bit. In Psalms 23, this is a psalm that I guess everybody starts to learn when they're about 5, 6 years old. And at some point in time, whether you purposely try to learn it, it happens in your life if you spend enough time in the church. And it's a plan that God has for your life. And God starts off, or David starts off in writing this based upon his relationship with the Lord. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. And then he comes back and he says something that is interesting when you look at it in the NIV, when you look at it in the Living Bible. He says, I have everything I need. Now, let's kind of park the bus right there, okay? If God is your shepherd, there are four things that God will do in your life. The first thing that God will do is he will provide for you. Everything that you need, God will give, make sure that you receive, because he's your shepherd. When you look at a shepherd's responsibility to his sheep is to make sure that they're fed. Make sure that the needs of the sheep are met. So if God is our shepherd, and then when we look over into Isaiah, it says that God will shepherd his sheep. So that says to us that one thing God is going to do, point number one, is that he's going to provide all your needs. Okay? Now, sometimes we get this mixed up. Sometimes we get our needs mixed up with our wants. Sometimes we get our needs mixed up with our desires. And God wants us to be clear that he's going to meet our needs on a daily basis. Now, what are your needs? When we look back into Matthew, the 6th chapter, we're talking about food, clothing, shelter. Now, let's make sure that you're clear on this. Sometimes our need is not met because of the sin in our lives. That we are out of fellowship with God. We have been out of fellowship with God. And because we're out of fellowship with God, God is not meeting a certain need in our lives. See, God's promises are to those that are walking with him, that are living by his word. God's promises to those that are submitting their lives totally to him, those that are obedient to him. If we read God's word and we're not living as he would have us to live, then his promises will not show up in our lives. But God says, I will meet all of your provisions. I will give you what you need. I will provide for you whatever those things is that you need, that I'm in agreement with you that you need those things. I can remember when I was 16, the first thing I told God I needed was a car. And I wanted the car before I even had a license. I said, I got the learner's permit. When I finish taking this test, I want a car. What have you asked God for that you really didn't need? Because sometimes, because God doesn't give it to us, we hold it against God. We get angry with God. What is it that you are asking God for that can be outside of his will for your life? I think one of the other things I prayed about was when it was time for me to go to college. I had no money, didn't know how I was going to go to college. But I prayed about it, and I'm going to tell you the truth. When I prayed about it, I didn't think God was going to answer. But God answered. he provided the money for me to go to college, you know. But I can tell you, honestly, there was a little bit of doubt there, you know, because I needed a whole lot of money. God will provide. Secondly, he will protect. In your day-to-day walk, God is always protecting you. How many of you drove here today? Okay, you drove here today, and every time you stopped at a red light and the light turned green, you went ahead. You were hoping, without thinking about it, that the person that was coming down the other street was going to stop at their red light. You know, you ever been on the highway and a tractor trailer passes you, and he could have, just as passing you, he could have hit you? You ever step out in front on the street in front of a car or a bus and they stop when they don't have to? God is protecting us. He has his angels watching over us. They are keeping us even when we do not acknowledge what they're doing in our lives. They are always there. God is always there protecting you. You go home tonight. You go home tonight. You lock the front door. You go upstairs. You get in the bed and you go to sleep. But that's that little piece of steel that you got keeping you in the house. Do you know how easy it is to still break in your house? Right now we hear stories about, you know, in parts of the city where people are in their house with the door locked, watching television, and some muggers come and break the door down and they're in their house in a moment. God is protecting you even though you do not acknowledge his protection. When you go to school, it is God that is keeping those, I'll put it this way, I'll use a good term, those kids that come from bad backgrounds from beating you up. Because I know when I went to school, I went to Edison High School, and it was nothing but boys. And every week, somebody got stabbed. And every week, every day, there was a fight going on. So we need to understand that it is God that is protecting us. He's protecting our home. He's protecting our loved ones. He's protecting when we're on the street. He's protecting when we're in school. It is God in his shepherding process that is protecting us and making sure that we are able to accomplish those things that he has planned for us. Now, even while he's protecting us, he's also guiding us through this life. His Holy Spirit is there, and his Holy Spirit, every day of your life, the Holy Spirit is giving you direction for your life. You don't always listen. You don't always do what the Holy Spirit tells you, but his Holy Spirit is there giving you the direction that you need for your life. Sometimes we get caught up in things, and we just said, I don't know what to do, but we do not turn to the Lord. Because if we turn to the Lord, then God will tell us exactly what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. But we have to turn to him as he looks to shepherd us so that we don't become that sheep that moves away from the fold and he goes on his own and God has to come to get you because you left the fold because you was not following his guidance. When he took his, he'd ride and told you to get back with the other sheep, you decided I'm going to go and do my thing because that's what I want to do. I'll give you another example as we look in the Bible and we talk about the prodigal son. The prodigal son just came to a point in his life when he says, I know what's best for me. And your standards are no longer my standards. And he moved away from his base. He moved away from those that loved him. He moved away and he got involved in the world. Now, bottom line is my hope that none of us ever move that far away, that we get so involved in the world that we leave God and we leave the standards that God has placed us in. But the bottom line is, in this case, the prodigal son moved away. He did not come to himself until he was eaten with the pigs. Now, you need to always I'd use that as an example for you to always look and say, you know, look around you when you're eating to see if you're eating with the pigs. See, because the pigs don't have to just be the food. The pigs can be that you're associating with the heathens of the world. The pigs can be those that you associate with. The pigs can be those that you interact with. You need to make sure that you are living a life on a day-to-day basis that is pleasing to God. A life that is pleasing to God is a life that is surrendered to God. See, because when your life is surrendered to God, God is able to bless you supernaturally. He will start to bless you just based upon your activity to submit to Him. Because He wants to bless you to keep you on the right path in doing those things that He has called you to do. You know, you can have a messed up relationship, but if you will surrender yourself to God and pray and give Him control of that relationship, God will turn that relationship around in order that He may be glorified in your life, in order that He may be glorified in that relationship also. But what it requires is that you will submit yourself 100% to Him so that He can give you direction for your life. Now, along with that, the fourth point is that He will correct you. And we, you know, we do not like to be corrected. You didn't like to be corrected when you were living at home with your parents. You didn't like to be corrected when you were in school. Now you're grown, you're over 21, and you can put your pants on. You still don't want to be corrected. But part of God's process in your life is to correct you, to bring you in line with His word, to bring you in line with what His will is for your life. So what you need to understand through this whole process is that God would not be God. He would not be your father. He would not be your shepherd if He did not correct you when you are doing something wrong. Because He does not want to see you suffer in this life. He does not want to see you go through a lot of negatives in this life. What He wants to do is He wants to be that person that is blessing you 24/7. God would rather bless you. He would rather send showers of blessings upon you than to have to correct you because you stepped outside of His will. But what He's going to do is when you step outside of His will, He's going to try to correct you. Now, when we talk about an antidote for this type of behavior, when we talk about needing an antidote, we're talking about we need something that will work against that which is in us and prevent us from doing those things that God is not pleased with. Now, we need to also understand that those four things that we talked about a little earlier are important in our walk with God. Now, in order for those things to happen in our lives on a consistent basis, we need to trust God. We need to trust God that He's going to provide for us, that He's going to protect us, that He's going to guide us, and that He's going to correct us. We have to trust Him totally with our lives. If we do not trust Him, then we become that wayward sheep and we move away from Him, and then He has to respond to us as that wayward sheep that has moved away from us. Now, when we look back at Psalms 23, it says that He, in Him, we have everything that we need. Now, the one word in there that I want you to focus on is that you have everything. That God, as your shepherd, has already committed that everything that you need in this life, you already have. Everything that you need, you already have. God wants to bless you. He wants to just cover you with His love and take you forward. But it requires that you submit yourself to Him and to allow Him to shepherd you going forward. Now, when you look over into Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 19th verse, it says, "My God will meet your needs according to His riches in heaven." Philippians 4:19. According to His riches in heaven, He will meet the needs in your life. It says that He will. It doesn't say that He will think about it. It says that He will meet the needs in your life. And it's not about you, it's about His love for you. So our focus needs to be on God, that because of what He has done for us through Christ, because he sent, because Christ went to the cross for us, and because of his grace, he's going to meet every need in your life as you submit and as you walk according to his plan. Let me give you another example. When we go out and we buy insurance, let me back it up so you understand this. If you need insurance, house insurance, especially car insurance, if you got a car and you're driving around the street and you don't have insurance, you're always concerned about somebody hitting you and you hitting somebody else. But as soon as you make the first payment on that insurance policy, your worry goes away. You say, I'm insured now. Anybody hit me better have insurance. And that's the way it is with our relationship with God. God wants you to understand that you don't have to worry in your relationship with him because he's got your back. All you need to do is submit yourself to him and move away from worry, because worry is fear. You got that? Write that one down. Worry is fear. You need to understand that when you're worrying about something, you're actually having fears about that issue. And God does not want you to be caught up in fear. You know, worry is unhealthy. Worry can lead to all kinds of physical issues, mental issues, if you are caught up in worry. And see, the thing is, a lot of us don't even know how we got there. A lot of us, you know, started worrying when we were young and we just keep it going. And what God is saying is that I just want you to surrender everything in your life to me. And we're going to talk about how you need to get there, but you have to start to surrender everything in your life to him. You need to understand that it's unhealthy. And then this is a good one. Worry is unreasonable. It doesn't make any sense. You know, I counseled a young lady. Well, she wasn't a young lady. She was in her 50s. And all of her life, she worried. Had food in the house, and she worried about where her next meal was coming from. Working a job and worried about whether her check is going to be right and whether she's going to get it on time. What is it that you worry about? That, because there's a plan here. Let me walk you through the plan. If you're worrying about something, there's some questions you need to ask yourself. The first question is, what am I worrying about? Write it down. The second question is, what can I do about it? Write it down. The third question is, who do I need to talk to get help with this issue? And you write it down. Then what you then do is you go to God in prayer on those three first issues. Because if you can identify what you're worrying about, then there's a plan to resolve your worry. The plan is for you to first acknowledge what you're worrying about, and then what you can do to end the worry, and then what you need help from God in order to finish killing the worry. Most of us, we don't look to kill worry. We just continue in worry about the same thing. And the thing about it, some of us worry about the same thing every day, every week, every month, and we don't look to have it resolved. We just continue to worry consistently about the same things. And what God is saying is that, you know, there is no real need for you to be worrying the way you worry. Then we need to also to understand that worry is a type of self-torment. We are self-tormenting ourselves while we're going through worry. You know, we're suffering from disturbing threats and thoughts in our minds. We find that we are, you know, caught up in problems, we're caught up in fears. And then the thing that we all understand as Christians is that God is in control. It's like sitting in this chair and worrying, knowing that God is over here and he's in control, and not giving him control. What we have to learn to do in our process is to give God total control of your life. When I grew up in a home with 10 kids. We knew when my father wasn't working. Because my father would come home in the evening and he would not eat a meal unless it was meat on the plate. So we knew that if he came home and my mother fixed a meal and there wasn't meat on the plate, that my father wasn't working. In your walk with God, God keeps meat on your plate. Because he knows your needs. He will provide for you. Now, I don't want everybody to get that mixed up now, and every time you sit down at a plate, you want a piece of meat. It was an example, it wasn't, you know, a dictate. But I want you to understand, God is in control and he knows what you need. You don't need to worry because he's in control. He's gonna meet the needs of your life in his manner, in his time, in his fashion, for his purpose. So when we get caught up in worrying, we are actually taking control of our lives from God and the issues in our lives from God. And what we need to do is to place it before God. We need to place all of our concerns before God and leave them there. There's a song that we sang in the church that says, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Some of us will call upon God, ask him to help us in a situation, and we'll say, well, we're gonna leave it here. And when we get up from that chair, when we get all off our knees, we take it with us. Because we don't believe God is going to meet that need. So what we do is we try to figure out how we can do it. And there are certain things that God wants you to go through in order to make you a better person, in order to fulfill his plan for your life. And basically what you should be asking him for is to give me strength to go through what situation you have me in right now. Because sometimes what you're going through is to make you a better Christian. Sometimes what you're going through is to make you a better father, a better mother, a better child, because God is working his way in you and working certain things out of you that we may define as being worry, but it's the process that we are not submitting ourselves totally to God. Have I got close to any of y'all yet, or do I need to go a little farther? Okay, well, let's look at a couple more points here. Who is really in control of your life? Who's really in control of your life? Are you in control of your life, or is God in control of your life? Only you can answer that question, because you know when you find situations where you're worrying, where you're in anxiety, where there's stress, because you know what stress is? Stress is pressure upon your brain. It's situations that come up that bring about pressure to your brain. And a lot of times we find ourselves in situations where there's pressure brought to us because we have not submitted ourselves to God. You know, when we talk about anxiety, there are a lot of types of anxieties that we can go through. We can have panic attacks. We can be obsessive compulsive. We can have post-traumatic stress going on in our lives. We can be caught up in anger. We can be caught up in frustration. We can have fears. We can be apprehensive. You know, we can have inner turmoil. All of those things are anxieties that work in our lives. And what it does is it has us to need to come about and to understand what are causing these things. Now, one of the basic things that we need to understand, and this is my point number three, is that our prayer life is what helps us in our time of worry, what helps us in our time of anxiety, what helps us in our time of stress. Just talk to God. Just taking time to talk with God about what's going on. Sometimes we'll talk to a friend, sometimes we'll talk to another Christian about what's going on in our lives, but we don't talk to God. And God is the only one that can resolve your concern, and you don't spend time talking to him. Now, let me have you to understand this from a different perspective, is that, you know, as we come before things, and let's look at it from a scriptural reference. Philippians 4, verse 6. Turn over and look at that. I want you to look at that because maybe looking at it will help you in this whole process. Turn over to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and let's look at verse number 6 for just a moment, and then we'll go from there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious for anything. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Two things there. What the writer is saying, don't be anxious when you have an issue. Bring it to God. Talk to him about it. And after you've talked to him about it, then tell him what you would like for him to do. Let's back that one up again. Talk to God about it. Now, I'm not talking about, my wife and I was watching an old movie, and the guy in the movie, Lionel Barrymore movie, and the guy in the movie was talking to God. He wasn't calling on generations. You know, some of y'all, when y'all pray, y'all got to start calling on generations to make sure y'all can go from Abraham all the way up to David, and then y'all can start talking to God. What he did was he stood there and he said, you know, Lord, there's some issues going on in my life right now. And he started talking just like I'm talking right now to God. And then after praying about it, then he said, Lord, this is what I want you to do. Supplication. Now, the one thing that it also says in this verse is to say, thank you. Lord, you got it. I thank you for what you're going to do. You remember when you were growing up, you needed something? You say, I need a new pair of shoes, Joel. And boom, your parents would say, well, I'm going to get you a pair of shoes. And what did you say? Thank you. Even before you got the shoes, you said thank you. And God is your father. He's in control of everything. This is his world. He controls it. He wants to bless you. He sits up in heaven 24/7 wanting to know how he can be a blessing in your life. Something that will draw you closer to him because you're going to acknowledge that what I got only came from God. And so all he's asking you to do is after you asked him for something is to say thank you. Most of us, when we get caught up in worry, we want empirical proof. Give it to me and then I'll say thank you. You won't get me the shoes? When I got the shoes on my feet, then I'll tell you thank you. And what God is saying to you is just based on who he is. Just based on what he has done in your life through Jesus Christ. Just based upon the grace that he's kept you under, based upon the mercy that he's blessed you with, all you need to say is thank you. No need for you to worry. Just tell him what it is. Ask him what you, tell him what you want him, you would like for him to do according to his will for your life. And then say thank you. See how easy that is? You know, it's not you having to walk down many roads and go through a lot in life. God is just saying, talk to me. Let me know what your needs are. I already know, but I want to hear from you. And I'm going to meet your needs according to my riches, and he controls everything. I'm going to meet your needs because I love you, and I demonstrated my love for you by sending my son to die for you. So why would I send my son to die for you and then put you through a whole life of pain? I wouldn't even want to be a member of a club that I know I'm going to be in pain all through my time. Why would I want to be a Christian if all my life I'm going to be in pain? God wants to bless you, but he requires that you submit yourself to him. And see, this whole process takes you out of the process of worry. It takes you out of anxiety because you know that the same God that saved you, the same God that provides for you every day is going to meet those other needs in your life. So you have no need to worry. You have no need to be even caught up in that. And then he comes back and he says, listen, he says in 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse, he said, cast all your cares upon me. Learn of me. Cast your cares. What he's saying is any care that you have, any anxiety that you have, any worry that you have, any stress that you have in your life, cast it upon me. Cast it upon me. Put it upon me because I care for you. Nobody else cares for you like I care for you. So just cast it upon me. Place it upon me because I'm going to bring about my reality in your life as you give thanks to me. Then when we go back and look in Matthew, the 6th chapter, in the 33rd verse, it says, seek first my kingdom. And everything that you need will be added unto you. He said, all I want you to do is to seek after me, to love me, to serve me, to give me control of your life. And as you do that, everything that you need from the time of your birth to the time of your death, I got covered. I got your back. I got your front. Nothing is going to happen to you that I don't allow to come into your life. And if I allow it to come in your life, then I'm going to tell you how to deal with it once it's in your life. But what I require is for you to trust me, for you to stop worrying, because you can't do anything about half the stuff that comes into your life anyway. All you can do and what I want you to do is to trust me. To trust me for whatever is coming into your life because I have the answer for it. But I need to know that you are not getting caught up in worry. So what are you worrying about? What are you going through day in and day out that you have not given to the Lord? What is it in your life that he is waiting for you to give him? You know, in also in Matthew, it talks about that we are supposed to, that God will give us our daily bread. Now, when you go back and you look at that, God will give you your daily portion. We in Western civilization look at things a lot different than they do in Eastern culture. We are caught up that we have to see things 10 years down the road. God says, I will meet your daily needs. Talk to me. Tell me what you need today. I guarantee you I will provide it according to my will for your life. Leave tomorrow for tomorrow. Because you know what? When you go to bed tonight, there's nothing that says you're going to wake up for tomorrow. But if you wake up tomorrow, God has already got tomorrow planned for your life. There's no need for you to worry. There's no need for you to be concerned. Because he cares for you more than you can even care for yourself. So in this whole process, you need to make sure that you are walking with him. And that, you know, when we talk about stress, the only thing that stress does is hijack God from your life. Stress causes hijacking of God. It works on you, your health, it works on you mentally, it works on you physically. Now, bottom line, last point. What is required of you? The basics that's required of you in this area of an antidote for stress, for worry, for anxiety is a relationship with God. The only way that you will move out of stress, the only way you will move out of anxiousness, the only way you will move out of worry is by you having a relationship with God. By you understanding, when we go back and we look in Psalms, the 23rd chapter in verse 1, is that David was talking about a relationship with God. And as you go and you read Psalms 1 through 7, you will find that that whole part of Psalms, verses 1 through 7, deals with David's relationship with God. And God, and what he wants you to understand is that God is looking for you to have that same kind of relationship with him. That there is a relationship with him, that he is going to be moving in your life, that he's going to be providing for you, he's going to be protecting you, he's going to be guiding you, and he's going to be correcting you. He wants that relationship, and as you allow that relationship to develop, he's going to bless your life, and he's going to cause worry to dissipate from your life. He's going to cause anxiety to dissipate from your life. He's going to cause stress to dissipate from your life, because he knows that he has you in the center of his hand, you're walking in the center of his will, and he's going to do those things that will glorify him and that will keep you from worrying, keep you from being fearful, keep you from being in doubt as you walk with him. Let's bow. Father, we just thank you for our time in your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we have only spent just this short period of time in dealing with these issues of worry, of anxiety, and of stress, Lord, that you would just continue to feed your children in this area. Lord, that our lives may become lives where we are recipients of your peace, recipients of your joy, that we are able to walk through this life and we are able to walk through it as your children, not being caught up in the worry, the anxiety, and the stress of this life, but being able to say that because you're in control, that those things do not exist in us fully. Lord, I just thank you for this time we spent in your word. And Lord, as you give opportunity that we may come back to this subject, so that this subject will become a foundation in your children, that they will not get caught up in this life and in worry and the issues of this life, but that they will bring their lives in and they will trust you totally for what you will do in their lives. And that they will become a blessing to you and a blessing to others because of their trust in you and because of them walking according to your word in faith. We just thank you for what you're doing and for how you're doing it. And this we ask in your son's name and for his sake. Amen.